And now, direct from the Lunar Living Room, recorded semi-live in the recent future, it's Project Moonbase with your host, DJ Bongo Boy, also starring MC Zirconium.
My name is DJ Bongo Boy.
My name is MC Zirconium.
Welcome to this Project Moonbase podcast. This episode entitled...
Punk's Not Dead!
Yes.
And anybody who says it is, will be.
We're going to try and keep the punk violence to an absolute minimum. Yeah. We've decided to kind of, you know, smoothen up the world of punk. We were threatening to do this on a recent show. I think it was It was the Christmas show. We played a fantastic, frantic steel drum version of Deck the Halls, I think it was, by Tracy Thornton. And we mentioned at the time that we discovered that Mr. Thornton has actually recorded a whole album of punk covers. And that's a seed track. You see, a little seed was planted there.
It's like behind the curtain, isn't it?
It is.
How it all works.
The mechanism of Project Moonbase.
This steampunk style machinery.
We find a track we like and then we fabricate an entire show around
it. We glue bits on and run wires.
So the challenge this week has been to find as many...
Another one.
one other. Now we're trying to find as many kind of amusing punk covers done in various different styles. But we do also have, of course, MC Zirconium with his unnecessary news.
Yes, this week, would you like a pineapple? Stay tuned.
Wouldn't say no, MC Zirconium.
The most difficult to get into fruit of all.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I would say.
They do present a challenge.
They do, especially if you're hitting the face with one.
Or even the top. The top's quite jaggy too, isn't it?
Oh, man. It's danger all over. Danger at both ends.
Well, we puzzle over the best way to get into a pineapple. We'll get cracky with the music.
Now, again, sledgehammer.
yes, that could work. We're going to play a track by another gentleman that was new to us in 2011. This is the fabulous German organist, Mambo Kurt. Well, he popped up on our Nirvana tribute show, a show which you can still get, of course. We'll be giving you some details about how to do that later on. But again, we mentioned at the time that his 80-year-old organ teacher occasionally pops up on a track, and she sings the vocal. I'm warning you, she sings the vocal.
Uh-oh.
on this version.
It's not Mrs. Miller, is it?
It's not Mrs. Miller. I think she might be even older than Mrs. Miller. This is Mambo Kurt's version of that Sex Pistols classic, Anarchy in the UK.
Ladies and gentlemen, now I'd like to introduce to you the woman who showed me how to play the Heimorgel, Heidi Schulz.
Hi kids, my name is Heidi Schulz. I was the orgel teacher of Mambo Kurt. And I like to kick your ass, punk rock. Right now. But I know how to get it. I wanna destroy puzzle by cause I wanna be anarchy. Nordox body. Anarchy for the UK. It's coming sometime. And my dear, I give a long time. Stop a traffic line. Your future dreams is a shopping scheme, cause I wanna be anarchy in the city. I used anarchy cause I Is was the UK or just country?
That was Mambo Kurt and Heidi Schultz there with their version of Anarchy in the UK. And that was rather nice.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
It's something I didn't think I'd ever say about Anarchy in the UK. Nothing to worry about.
No.
I think we should start Anarchy in the UK right now. It's a bit strange it's being encouraged by a kind of elderly German lady, but, you know, details, details.
She's lovely, isn't she? I'd like to. She does, well, she pops up all too rarely, unfortunately, on Kurt Mambo's or even Mambo Kurt's releases, but you know, it'd be nice to hear a whole album kind of wing, you know, like Wing style, just Heidi Schultz sings the punk classics.
I'd buy that.
If I can find any more tracks featuring Heidi, we will definitely play them on the show.
I wonder if she's on Twitter.
She might be. We'll track her down, don't worry. This is Project Moonbase. We're doing it. We're going all punk this week. We're kind of ripping various holes in our trousers and shirts here at Moonbase.
And then putting safety pins in.
And then sensibly darning them back together again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to tell as many different styles as possible. And then now we're going to visit the world of surf guitar. Yes, as it happens, there is an entire surf album of various different bands playing their version of Clash tunes. mostly fairly unheard of bands. This is one I've certainly not heard of before. It's a Santa Barbara band called Kelp, rather oddly. And this is their version of a tune called White Riot.
with Santa Barbara's very own kelp with their version of White Riot from the album Charlie Does Surf.
Yes.
Which is an all surf covers of punk rock classics.
Of Clash songs specifically, yes.
Oh, Clash songs only.
rather weirdly. That's what I call niche.
It is rather.
If you like your Clash and you like your surf guitar, that's the album for you.
If you put your hand into that niche, you'd probably only find this album.
It's one
there.
Album, yes. Entirely possible.
Well done.
You are listening to the Project Moonbase podcast, a show which you may get freshly minted editions of every Sunday evening. The best way to find out when the next show is available is to go to our Twitter feed, twitter.com/Project Moonbase. There's also a very good way in which you can let us know your thoughts and feelings about tracks we play on the show, or maybe we're always looking for themes, for future themes for the show. We've got quite a few building up, but we're always looking for more. If you want to find out more about the tracks we're playing and also follow up on some of the news stories that we cover on the show, you can go to our website.
Yes, go to projectmoonbase.com, where you can find links to join our Facebook group, follow us on Google Friend Connect, plus one us to recommend Project Moonbase on Google. Drop us an email, show@projectmoonbase.com, where you can tell us all about your feelings about the world.
Yes.
And you can suggest artists or tracks that we should play, or themes, or whatever you like. Outfits.
Outfits, yes.
That we should wear.
Indeed, yeah.
Where can you get brothel creepers these days, for example? If you know, show@projectmoonbase.com. And you can also see a list of all the tracks that we've played on the show and links to where you can get them, which is usually on iTunes and Amazon.
Yes.
Sometimes they're free.
Sometimes they're free, yes. If you see a little red button, that means you can get the record for free. Isn't that lovely?
If you do click on the links, the Amazon or the iTunes links, you'll help the show. It won't cost you any more, but it does help the show go forward.
Yes. And if you wish to spend even more money on Amazon, there's another affiliate link on the right hand, the forbidden zone, on the right hand side of the web pages where nobody goes. But if you do venture over there, you'll see an Amazon link, and you can buy anything you like on Amazon, and we'll get a little recompense for you doing so.
And even if it's something gross and weird, we won't know because it's completely anonymous.
It is, yes.
But we do get a few space pennies, helps us buy biscuits and oxygen.
It all helps. It all helps. As I say, this is the Project Moonbase podcast, and we're going to have a little breather from the music. And we're going to strum on the three chords of Unnecessary News.
Intelligent slime is able to navigate its way out of a maze. How about that?
Wow.
A Japanese scientist exploring the power of slime mold in an attempt to uncover the key to intelligence. Toshiyuki Nakagaki, a professor at Future University Hakodate, Northern Japan, or something, I'm sorry if I got those all wrong, has cultivated the slime in petri dishes and has discovered how the brainless organism is capable of finding its way out of a maze. There's a joke in there somewhere.
Yes.
The brainless organism is able to organise its cells to create the most direct route through a maze in order to reach the resource of food, according to his studies. Findings highlight how slime mould possesses information processing abilities shared by humans, which are more sophisticated than the most advanced computers, according to Professor Nakagaki. Humans, he says, are not the only things with information processing abilities. Simple creatures can solve certain kinds of difficult puzzles. If you want to spotlight the essence of life or intelligence, it's easier to use these simple creatures. And Atsushi Tero from Kyushu University believes that intelligence skills possessed by slime mold networks could potentially be used in the future in the design of transport systems or electronic transmission lines. And he says, computers are not so good at analysing the best routes that connect many base points because of the volume of calculations. He said, slime molds, without calculating all the possible options, can flow over areas in an impromptu manner and gradually find the best routes.
Creepy.
That's weird, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I don't know what to do with that at all.
Do you think slime molds are our future overlords?
They might be. They really might be. Like...
You know, if you see some mold and you think, well, I'm just going to go somewhere, you think you're going by the quickest route, but mold's already there by the time you've got there. Mold's already there. It's got a hat. It's already set up. You know, you've missed your opportunity. Slime mold. Watch out for it, ladies and gentlemen. A yeti finger has been revealed to be a human after all. After a bit of DNA analysis. Oh, yes. This is a mummified finger which was smuggled out of Nepal 50 years ago. And where it was revered as the finger of a yeti. Well, it's turned out to be human. The relic was taken from a monastery by a US explorer in the 1950s who replaced it with a human finger to fool the monks.
Where did he get the human finger?
Yeah, wait
from?
A minute. Yeah, this begs a few questions, doesn't it? Did he just carry around a human finger on the off chance that he might be able to swap it
for a yeti finger?
I mean, yeah, I swapped that. How did you get that? Well, I swapped it for a human finger. So, where'd you get a human finger? Why are you walking around with a human finger in your pocket? You weirdo. Anyway, this gets weirder and weirder. Film star Jimmy Stewart helped smuggled a yeti finger out in his wife's lingerie case.
You want me to do what? I'll do what with a yeti finger? I'll put it in my wife's pants? Oh, gee.
Yes, it ended. How did that conversation go?
Ah, there. I'm a U.S. explorer. I did have a human finger, but I upgraded to a yeti finger. And Jimmy, if you could transport this in your wife's underpants, I'd be much obliged.
I guess I don't know.
Yes, it ended up in the Royal College. I know. It's just, let's all just think about that for a minute. It ended up in the Royal College of Surgeons Museum in London, and unfortunately, scientists in Edinburgh ruined it recently by doing a bit of analysis and finding that it was a human finger. Rob Ogden of the Edinburgh Zoo said it's obviously slightly disappointing. True.
The truth is often sadly disappointing.
Slightly disappointing. Yeah. Anyway, never mind. How about the 9 oddest job interview questions asked at tech companies in 2011? Job interviews are always fun, aren't they? But US tech companies, you might expect if you went for an interview with them to be asked questions about your abilities or past history or knowledge of the company or technology or whatever, but they do seem to ask a lot of other rather strange questions as well. For example, this is a candidate for their vendor relations manager. He was asked, how many people are using Facebook in San Francisco at 2:30 p.m. on a Friday? I don't know. Should I know? I mean, do you think I know? Do you know? And you're just testing if I know? Anyway, here's another one. If Germans were the tallest people in the world, how would you prove it? This was asked by Hewlett-Packard, product marketing manager. That was what the candidate was. Mm-hmm. This is a question asked of a potential Qualcomm engineering candidate. Given 20 destructible light bulbs which break at a certain height and a building with 100 floors, how do you determine the height that the light bulbs break? What? Any ideas? You're supposed to be answering these.
Oh, sorry. Well,
you failed.
Well, I would imagine you'd put a single light bulb in each floor of the building until they start popping. Is that not the way to do that?
I don't know. We'll see. How would you cure world hunger? Was asked at an Amazon.com software engineer candidate. How would you cure world hunger?
Oh. Spam?
No. Sandwiches?
Spam sandwiches.
You're in a rowboat, which is in a large tank filled with water. So there's a large tank filled with water, yes. Like a swimming pool. You're in it in a rowboat.
Yes.
You have an anchor on board, which you throw overboard.
Yes.
The chain is long enough so the anchor rests completely on the bottom of the tank. Does the water level in the tank rise or fall?
Well, as you throw the anchor out, the area displaced by the boat reduces. But the question is whether the anchor takes up more volume than the boat does,
I know.
I guess. So that you need to know the size of the boat and the anchor, don't you?
But the question is, it's the water is being displaced by the weight of the anchor in the boat.
Oh, yes, I suppose it is. And then you've got the weight of the anchor at the bottom of the tank.
But you've also got the volume, which is the question of, as well. Mm. So I don't know. That was asked at Tesla Motors of a mechanical engineer candidate.
Well, they should know the answer.
They should know. Please spell diverticulitis. This was asked at of an engineering account manager candidate. Go on.
D-I-V-E-R-T-I-C-U-L-I-S.
No. It's D-I-V-E-R-T-I-C-U-L-I-T-I-S.
Oh.
You have a bouquet of flowers. All but two are roses. All but two are daisies. All but two are tulips. How many flowers do you have? This is Epic Systems
Six.
Corporate project. I don't know. How do you feel about those jokers in Congress? This was asked to Consolidated Electrical Management. If you were a Microsoft Office program, which one would you be? Come on.
Access.
Access. Nice one.
I don't know, really.
And
what would you be?
So, PowerPoint, I don't know. No idea. I only know about two. Word.
Word.
Yeah, so I think we both squarely failed to get any jobs in the IT industry in America this year. So anyway, never mind. You've been used. Sri Maha Bodhiti.
Thank you, Mrs. Kanium, for that first selection of unnecessary news stories.
You're welcome.
There'll be more later on in the show. Now it's time to get to the nub of the matter. This next track is the tune that really sparked the idea of doing a punk-themed show. This is Tracy Thornton, who quite extraordinarily has recorded an album called Pan for Punks, which is a steel pan tribute to the Ramones.
Let that sink in for a moment.
Yeah, just relax for a moment. 19 Ramones tunes delivered on frenetic steel drum.
I'd have loved to have been there when Tracy thought, hey, you know what, I can play the Ramones on the steel drums. This is possible.
It is possible.
Can you imagine what that evening was like? He's going through the Ramones, how to play the Ramones books, and going, this will work.
It must have been like a Ramones epiphany, I think, when he had. It doesn't just work, it sounds absolutely wonderful, actually. I think this is actually really quite, almost brings a tear to the eye, actually.
Better than the original, I might say.
The original, indeed. This is the quite beautiful version, and still quite frenetic, of Sheena is a Punk Rocker on the Steel Pans.
Thank you.
was, of course, Sheena is a punk rocker, the Tracy Thornton version,
yes,
on steel drums. I think this is another example of those possible quantum fork events in the history of music. Imagine if, you will, this is what it would have sounded like if punk rock, instead of being guitars,
yes,
was steel drums. Imagine if all punk rock was steel drums. How different the world would be.
Maybe if punks had started in the Caribbean.
Yeah. That's
what a great world that would be.
Oh, man. Things would have been different, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think so.
Oh, and we'd all be drinking a lot more pineapple juice.
We would.
And rum.
Mm. Well, that's a shame it didn't happen that way, really. But,
something to think about.
It is. Now, I do think that's an extraordinary and beautiful version of that well-known Ramones tune. As I say, there's 18 more Ramones tracks on that album. If you'd like to own it, you can go to the Project Minimus website and click on the links. Now, this next track, I'm afraid I've drawn a complete blank on this one. After extensive attempts at research, I just can't really tell you anything about this. It's a gentleman called Bruce Graham and his band The Colours Green, who are kind of, it's a sort of, I guess, I'm guessing is there must be something like a library musician or a sort of session organist, making sort of fairly easygoing music. But for some bizarre reason, he's decided on this album, the album is called Time After Time, and on this album, he's decided to do a version of that Belgian classic, Ça Plan Pour Moi by Plastique Bertrand, one of the very few famous things to come out of Belgium.
Well, he's a faux Frenchman, isn't he?
Is he?
Well, he was. A lot of French people think he's from.
Oh, okay.
From France.
All right.
Spent a lot of time in France, mm-hmm. But
so it may not be Belgian at all.
It's a classic.
It is a classic.
You know, you've got to be careful. I think his life might be in danger if he actually were to set foot in France.
Oh, really?
As a result of tampering with the classics.
The classics. Well, again, we'll be interested to see whether after this track we are going to both agree it's better than the original.
Well, it can't be worse, can it? Let's face it.
Let's be honest.
Thank you.
And that was, of course, Samplin pour moi, the Bruce Graham version.
Indeed.
And it's interesting that he genuinely made an attempt to play the original tune, didn't he? I mean, he mixes it up a bit later on. It gets a bit hectic, doesn't he?
I just think it's an odd choice for someone who wants to... If you want to demonstrate your virtuosity on the organ, most of the tune is basically just stabbing the same note over again.
Yeah,
it doesn't really...
it's fairly bare, isn't it? It's fairly minimal. But
if anyone out there... I've completely drawn a blank on trying to find out who Bruce Graham is or what he's, you know, what his background is online. But if anyone knows about this gentleman, do please get in touch. twitter.com/projectmoonbase or an email can be sent to show@projectmoonbase.com. Now we're going to, again, try to tackle another genre, this time reggae. I discovered a compilation album called Kingston Calling. It came out in 2010, which, as you might gather, is a reggae compilation, again, of some punk favourites. And this particular next track we're going to play was one that kind of leapt out at me. This is a gentleman, again, I'm not familiar with the world of dancehall reggae. Some might surprise some listeners. This is a gentleman called QQ, who apparently has a record for being the youngest person from Jamaica to have a hit record. He started recording at the age of 10 and recorded a track called Poverty. I'm not familiar with that tune, but this, I think, was recorded slightly later on in his career. This is QQ's version. Again, very, very unexpected tune to be given the reggae treatment. This is QQ with Teenage Kicks.
Distant lands takes both my hands. never a frown with golden brown. Temptress, through the ages she's heading west. From far away, stays far a day. Never a frown with golden brown.
That's right. That was the Wurzels with their version of Golden Brown.
Project Moonbase first there, the Wurzels.
It's quite good, wasn't it, actually? Yeah. They've redeemed themselves.
There was a look of horror when you saw that on the playlist.
I did start biting at my chain, on the chain of my ankle, as usual. But, they're quite respectful version.
Well, yeah, it was mainly selected for their shock value of when the vocal starts. That is quite wonderful.
Yeah, because you're lulled in. There's a bit of accordion there. You're like, okay, this is an accordion version. And, whoa, golden brown.
But after that, I'd like them, I know we shouldn't really be applying serious musical criticism.
Why not? Nobody else is going to do it.
I do think they could maybe play with it a bit more than they did, but anyway.
I think this is the first time anybody's mentioned the Wurzels in about the last 20 years.
Well, this is an album, apparently, which came out in 2010. They're still with us.
Well, they'll be happy for this bit of publicity, then, won't they?
I wonder if they're on Twitter.
I bet they are. Hashtag Wurzels. At the Wurzels.
At the Wurzels.
We're gonna see. If we can get some Wurzels listeners.
Oh, that's the dream.
No, come on.
Never mind Warren Ellis. We could get a few half a dozen.
Well, if we can get Warren and the Wurzels, I'm happy. We're very wide range. We've got a very wide range. And before that, of course, QQ.
Yes.
And their version of Teenage Kicks, Teenage Kicks, Booyah! As I should call it.
Yes.
Boom! Teenage Kicks.
One again, of a moment where we might need to just stop and pause for a moment to think, why on earth would you even think of doing a reggae version of Teenage Kicks?
I liked it.
It was good, though.
It was very good.
It was good, yes.
Better than the original.
Once again. This is the all-punk special of Project Moonbase, and right now we're going to attach a series of safety pins of unnecessary news.
For sale? The UK's enormous bomb shelter designed to house the government during a nuclear war. This is an opportunity. This could be our new base, an Earth base. Built in the 1950s, the bunker in Wiltshire could house and feed 4,000 people for 3 months. The UK designed it to house the government if the worst happened during the Cold War. And you can watch a video of it if you want. We'll link to that from our projectmoonbase.com. If Britain had been attacked by a nuclear bomb during the Cold War, the government would have retreated to its massive 35-acre complex buried beneath the county of Wiltshire, presumably leaving the rest of us to die horribly. Thanks for that. It's referred to as a bunker, but it's more like a small town with large rooms linked by roads built on the site of an abandoned quarry known as Burlington. It could house 4,000 people and feed them all for 3 months. It was also the home to a broadcasting studio and hospital. And the whole thing was kept entirely secret until 2004 when it was decommissioned.
Oh, you're right, okay.
And a BBC crew have been round it, kind of gleefully taking a look at this crazy thing. And you can take a look at that clip if you want. It's for sale, yeah.
You said Wiltshire.
Yeah.
Do you think that's where the Wurzels are based? Do you think that's the Wurzels' secret headquarters?
Their secret lair. Maybe they were the caretakers.
It could be.
Oh, has there been a Cold War? Come on in. Get the tea on. Would you like to hear my version of Golden Brown?
Ancient documents claim Jesus lived to be 106 and died in Japan. Yes, there have been bizarre claims before that Jesus Christ lived and died in India, for example, with his tomb located in the state of Kashmir. Ooh, it's a great place for fabric, isn't it? And civil war.
Yeah, that's right.
In what can only be a testament to his omnipresence, another claim has been made to Christ's whereabouts before his death, this time by the Japanese, of all people. The story goes like this. Christ visited Japan between the ages of 21 to 33, which is conveniently supported by the fact the Bible skips over large periods of his early life. So he was obviously...
In Japan.
Put two and two together. He spent this time studying the native language and culture before returning to Jerusalem. But what about the crucifixion, you ask? Well, it wasn't Christ that was crucified at all, according to this theory. It was his younger brother, Izukiri, who I've never heard of.
Neither have I.
Who took his place on the cross. In the meantime, Christ fled to Siberia after a few years. I hope you've got a map or a globe of the world with you here.
I've got a set of map tacks as well.
Good. He fled to Siberia after a few years. He travelled via Alaska and arrived to the port of Hanshinochi, 40 kilometres from the village of Shingo. And he lived the rest of his life in the village where he married and had 3 children, dying at the age of 106. The source of this story is a series of ancient Japanese documents that provide details about the escape of Christ from the Holy Land of Jerusalem, called the Takanochi documents. They're said to be over 1,500 years old and passed down from generation to generation in the Takanochi family. English translations are available today. However, the real attraction of the village isn't the documents or the story itself, but the tomb of Jesus Christ. On top of a wooden hill overlooking the rice fields lie 2 graves, each on mounds, each marked with wooden crosses and surrounded by a nice picket fence. Tasteful.
Lovely. Yes. That's what Jesus would have wanted.
It is. The grave to the left has the ear of Izukiri, along with a lock of the Virgin Mary's hair.
Just the ear?
The one on the right is where the bones of Jesus are buried, apparently. The theory has been described by many as a hoax.
Really?
And an attempt to boost tourism. Cynics to a man. Toshiko Sato, the only Christian inhabitant of the village, because it's essentially a Buddhist village.
Yes.
Claims that the story is a lie and does not visit the annual Christ festival that is held on the tomb. So there you go. If you're looking, if you didn't know where to go on holiday,
forget Bethlehem.
It's crowded. Always go to the village of Shingo in Japan. Merry Christmas. You've been used.
Thank you.
yen.
Thank you, Mrs. Koenig, for this week's necessary news.
Thank you, sir.
There'll be more on next week's show. Now, if you were listening to Project Moonbase back in the heady days when we were on the old frequency modulation radiogram, you may remember this next band. I don't think we've played them for quite a while. This is a slightly odd setup we've got here. This is a Japanese couple, Miyagi and Naimi, who both play the ukulele and both live in Munich.
They did some folk covers.
They've recorded, I think they've only still recorded one album to date. The band is called Kokonami. And so it's an odd mixture because it's kind of an album which is made up of various Japanese ukulele versions of German folk tunes, but then weirdly interspersed with a few Ramones covers.
What's weird about that?
So, at the risk of duplicating ourselves slightly, we are going to hear another Ramones cover on the show this week, but they were, they're one of the seminal punk bands, so why not? And we're going to play now Kokonami's version, very sweet little version, quite different from the original, of Blitzkrieg Bop.
Straight line, they're going through a tight wind. The kids are losing their mind. The Blitzkrieg Bop, they're peeling in the back seat, they're generating steam heat, pulsating to the backbeat. The Blitzkrieg Bop. Back now. What they want, I don't know. They're all reeved up and ready to go. They're forming in the straight line. They're going through a tight wind. The kids are losing their mind. The Blitzkrieg Bop. They're feeling in the backseat. They're generating steam heat, pulsating to the backbeat. The Blitzkrieg Bop. Hey, ho, let's go. Shoot them in the back now. What they want, I don't know. They're all reefed up and ready to go. They're forming in the straight line. They're going through a tight wind. The kids are losing their mind. The Blitzkrieg Bop.
The delightful Kokonami with their version of Blitzkrieg Bop by the cover of the Ramones.
Yes, very sweet little thing.
It was, wasn't it?
Despite the lyrical content.
Why were people so worked up about the punk rock?
That's right. Yeah.
We've reinvented it.
We have.
We have created a whole parallel universe, an optional kind of historical retelling of punk rock.
Gentle punk.
The way we'd prefer it, really.
Yes.
Which you can, I think, you can enjoy with, you know, a sherry or a port.
Well, I was going to say, this show has inspired us to break out the port and Stilton.
Which is the right response to punk rock, isn't it?
Yeah.
A rich cheese and a fortified wine.
Yes. So we're about to enjoy that, and while we do...
Yes, would you mind?
Would you
mind?
We've got some important stuff to get on with here. As always, we're very grateful for the support of our loyal listeners, and for whenever our loyal listeners spread the word as well. We always much appreciate that. There's lots of ways you can do that. You can obviously retweet our tweets. You can share our posts on Facebook. And just generally recommend us.
Just mention us.
Using the power of the human voice. Or temporary tattoos.
Definitely. A good forehead one is always good.
Forehead one. We would like to... Well, we've had a few... since we last spoke to you, we've had a few new followers on Twitter. We would like to welcome Adrian DCR and Sample Freunde, who are now following us on Twitter. We also were followed by Artist Advocacy and Matthew Taylor favorited our tweet about being in a food coma over the New Year period, which is good. We had a little thank you from Space Dog for playing their tune on the Russ Garcia show. And another tweet from a new listener, Johan van der Kneif, who was moved by that Russ Garcia show to actually go and buy a copy of the Russ Garcia album. Which is
good man.
Which is wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad you like the music.
Still speaking. Russ, he still works. Still speaking to people.
It does. And we've had a couple of new followers in, actually, in the last couple of days. Keris Hogg and Ron Alicio. So welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Welcome.
To the world of the future.
We're kind of over the 400 follower mark now.
Yes.
Which is good.
At least half of those are maybe human.
Maybe they are. Mm-hmm. If you do feel moved by any of the tracks you hear on the show and you would like to own the music, do please go through the affiliate links, if possible, on the website, because then... Everyone's a winner, really. You end up with a copy of the album or track that you like, and we end up with a penny or two in the coffers, which we can then go and spend on more music for the show, which is...
And new cereal.
And stuff like that. That's right. Food. I forgot about that. First things first.
I'm mostly wearing sackcloth. And
which, if I may say so, is wearing thin in a few
Yeah, places. It is. Yeah. So, you know, use that affiliate link.
Yeah, please.
Through Amazon.
I beg you, dear listener, please use the affiliate link. You can also not only share our posts on Facebook, you can, of course, like our page and like our posts, too. We had a positive reaction from the Edinburgh Funk Collective, who liked the Fantastica show that we did, PMB 62, still out there, as are all previous shows, by the way, if you wish to listen to any of our... shows in the archive.
64 shows previously posted. They're still available for you to enjoy and for your friends and family. Just think, you can introduce your friends and family and complete strangers to an entire cornucopia of musical marvellousness.
Oh, yes. There's many gems in that huge archive. There's a new thing we've started doing. Well, I've started doing. This is news to MC Zirconia until a few minutes ago.
Well, I only get out of the hutch, you know, once a week for the show.
Secret operations. There's a new, I think it's still in beta. There's a new website that's come along onto the scene called This Is My Jam, which is, as you might guess, well, it's not. Sadly, it's not about...
I was going to say, because I really like jam. You're saying it's nothing to do with the preserve.
Maybe they're missing an opportunity there.
Yeah, they are.
This is all about musical jams, and the idea of it is that you can post about tracks that you particularly like that you're currently listening to, and people who see that tweet or your post can then go and listen to the whole track on this site. This Is My Jam. We have an account on there, Project Moonbase, and if you'd like to go along there, we have been posting a few things on the slide there, including... I was a bit naughty, actually, MC Zirconia. I know that we had a bit of a love or lava battle on the subject of a certain African-American
bagpipist, yes,
by the name of Rufus Harley, and I slightly tried to skew the evidence in my favour by
stuffing the ballot box in your own favour. You are devious.
posting another separate, a new Rufus Harley tracker on there, which is his version of Sunny, which maybe we would play on the show sometime.
Dead body.
Anything to do with it. I'm delighted to say that we had a positive response to that. Dr. Rubberfunk, who is following us on This Is My Jam, posted a comment saying, sunny, bagpipes, caftans. What's not to like? I would tend to agree with that.
Welcome, nonetheless.
You, dear listener, may choose to disagree with that. But, yes, do come along and follow us on there as well. And if you join the fun on This Is My Jam, we may well follow you back and have a listen to what you are currently enjoying listening to.
So, in conclusion, if you want, you know, we really appreciate if you at Project Moonbase, if you're on Twitter, just say our name randomly, apropos of nothing. Yes. I'm eating cereal at Project Moonbase. Just anything that needlessly gets our name out there is good. And obviously the same on Facebook. If you want to go to our Facebook page and comment and favourite things so that it appears on other people's Facebook thingamajigs, I don't really know how this works, but...
Something like that.
You know, it's all appreciated. Go to it. It's cheap. And it keeps us happy.
It certainly does. Now, this may come as a surprise, but I really struggled to find... I wanted to, you know, we were trying to represent all of the genres that we like.
Represent.
And I was wanting to try and find a chiptune punk cover.
Not an unreasonable request.
And I thought this would be easy. I thought it would be inundated with options. Mm. But I really struggled to find any at all. Until I stumbled across YouTube, that little-known website.
I've heard of it.
And I came across this rather splendid... I will concede this is a very obscure punk reference here. This is a cover of a track by Bostonian Irish-American band the Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah, goodness. God forbid we ever do an obscure track on this show.
Now, this is a rather splendid 8-bit version of a song of theirs called Heroes From Our Past. And it's a version by an American university student who hasn't recorded anything formally yet, but he's done lots of nice clips on YouTube of... He's done another Dropkick Murphys tune, and he's done a selection of tunes from the Lord of the Rings films in 8-bit style, which we may sample. He records on YouTube under the name of Boop Beep Beep Boop. He's very kindly sent us a copy of this, though. This is his version of Heroes From Our Past.
And that was Boop Beep Beep Boop with his version of Heroes of Our Past, an 8-bit version there.
Yes.
From the album... Well, it's Sing Loud, Sing Proud.
Yeah, it was a bit confusing. That's the original. If you really want to hear the Dropkick Murphys version of that, and I personally would urge you not to seek that out. But yes, it was originally on a Dropkick Murphys album called Sing Loud, Sing Proud. But as I say, Boop Beep Beep Boop hasn't actually recorded an album yet. But hopefully it will.
Yes, that was good, wasn't it?
Good. Yeah, I like that. I have been DJ Bunga Boy. I hope you enjoyed this rebellious edition of Project Moonbase, where we go, where we celebrate all things punk.
I have been MC Zirconium, and I hope you enjoyed the Yeti's finger.
I prefer the human finger.
Mm. Well, you can alternate. That's the good thing. One, a Yeti's finger in one pocket, a human finger in the other.
Now, we're going to leave you with... well, we opened the show with the Sex Pistols cover, and we're going to close the show with another version of a very famous Sex Pistols tune. This is by a very... this is a very strange version, as you might expect. It's by a Japanese ska band called the Swing Easy Orchestra. Not quite sure why they went for that name, but anyway, why not? And the thing that... again, they've recorded a whole album of punk and new wave tunes. The reason this one, most of the tracks feature guest vocalists of one kind or another, is the particular vocal stylings of Shigeru Nakano as he attempts to wrestle with the original version of this song, which you'll hear shortly. Until next week, dear listener,
God save the Queen!
next time on Project Moonbase. It's time to leave the nest. Project Moonbase, episode 64. The Birds.